What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the newest episode of the NFL Mock Draft Show on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, where we discuss a few of the prospects that were selected in the latest Monday Mock Draft edition this week. We're going to be talking about five guys here. You can find the entire mock draft on Sports Illustrated, SI.com/NFL/draft. You can view them every single Monday morning. We're going to be dropping a new one every Monday morning. But also, keep a lookout for all the other content going out. For instance, we just dropped a Senior Bowl mock draft on Saturday, which was really interesting. We got to talk about a lot of the top prospects that are going to be down in Mobile, Alabama at the end of January, early part of February, to really show out some of their skills there. So I enjoyed doing that one for you guys. Be sure you go check it out. It dropped on Saturday, so it might be a little bit buried with all the content we got going on over there. Ton of great stuff. A lot of NFL draft news going out, a lot of rankings, a lot of good stuff. So make sure you go check that out over at SI.com/NFL/draft. But today, Tuesday, day after the NFL National Championship game for college football, where Georgia, can you say it was an upset since they were favorites? I feel like it was still a little bit of an upset, even though they were favorites. They beat Alabama in a big game. Kirby Smart gets a win. Stetson Bennett played good, a lot better than his overall talent level. Let's be real. It was a great game to watch. I hope you guys aren't, too upset. I know a lot of people that I know were betting on Alabama. I took Alabama. I really thought that Alabama was going to end up with that victory. Just a lot of talent on that team. Nick Saban-led team. I mean, it's tough to, bet against an Alabama team like that. So I know I'm hurting a little bit from it. I'm sure some of you are as well. But we're going to get over it here by talking a little bit about some of these prospects that were taken in the Monday mock draft. Again, go check that out on the website. It's up there right now. And let's get right into it. But before we do, please give the show a 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know what you like, what you dislike. Let's talk about some of these prospects. I enjoy talking some of this ball with you guys. So, let's dive right into it. So we're going to be talking about five guys. We're going to get into the first overall pick. So we know the first 18 picks now that the NFL playoffs are getting underway this next weekend here. So we got the first 18 picks locked and loaded. We're going to be talking about five of them. We're going to talk about the first overall pick with Jacksonville. They got the first overall pick. Now, who do they go, right? Are they going to be taking another pass rusher to pair with Josh Allen and get that defense right? I know there's a lot of things that they could be doing to get it right out in Jacksonville. They obviously are going to be on the head coach hunt. They're going to be – they got their franchise quarterback. They got that piece locked into place here. But who do they go? Where are they going to go here with the first overall pick? It's going to be interesting to see. I could see when all is said and done, when April rolls around, when the NFL draft, when that clock starts, I could see Jacksonville not picking first overall. I could see them actually trading out. You got teams like Philly. You got teams like the Giants, the Jets, all these teams that could jump up and get one of these top edge rushers. Maybe you look at the Giants, who could potentially be looking to replace Daniel Jones. Maybe they fall in love with a guy like Kenny Pickett, use that draft capital, jump up to first overall and solidify their quarterback position there. So Jacksonville picking one in this mock draft. Not sure that they do when all is said and done. But then we're also going to be talking about that Giants pick. They got pick number 7 and pick I'm spacing it a little bit, but we're going to be talking about that 7th overall pick they got there and who they could potentially take. We're also going to go down to Baltimore, who's picking 14. Baltimore, a team that has had Super Bowl hopes these last few years, are picking 14. Now, they dealt with a lot of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, Lamar Jackson has dealt with his injuries. So it is a bit surprising to see them picking 14, but with all the injuries, this is just going to bode well for them next year in 2022, 2023. They could, if they hit on this pick, they could be a team that is going to be fighting for Super Bowl contention again and being the leaders in the AFC North there once again. And then we're going to go all the way to the West Coast. We're going to be talking about the LA Chargers. They are going to be, I'm going to tease this a little bit. They could be losing Mike Williams, Jalen Guyton, two wide receivers they're going to need to potentially replace. So maybe we get their replacement in this draft. Maybe we don't. We'll find out. And then the last one that we are going to be talking about, I had to pick a player that played in Monday night's game for the national championship. It's going to be a pick that the Dolphins take at pick 22, which is where they currently sit. The San Francisco 49ers pick. Miami doesn't have their own pick. They traded that away. So they got the Niners pick coming up here in the draft. So we're going to be talking about a player that played last night, had a pretty decent game. So, and if we have more time, I better get done with this intro. So maybe I have more time to get a few more players in here for you. So with that said, let's dive right into the first overall pick. I know Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, Kenny Pickett, you name it, guys like that have been at the top of the list, first overall pick for quite some time in these mock drafts, but I went a different route. I said, you got Trevor Lawrence already. You got your franchise quarterback. You need a head coach. You need a lot. You know, I think you got a pretty solid running back duo with Travis Etienne when he comes back and James Robinson. You could definitely use some wide receiver weapons. You're not taking a wide receiver first overall, obviously. So let's get him some protection in Alabama's offensive tackle. Another guy that played last night, Evan Neal. We're going to take him. We took him first overall. And again, if you want to check out this full mock draft, si.com/NFL/draft, it's all up on the website right now. We took Evan Neal first overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, you look at his size, first of all, is 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", and a half, somewhere around there, 360, 355, somewhere around there as well. Again, protect your franchise quarterback, and that's what Evan Neal is going to bring. He's got a lot of experience playing either left tackle, left guard, right tackle. Where he could play wherever you want to put him here. He's going to be best at tackle from what I've seen. And you look at Jacksonville and who they could potentially lose in free agency. Three unrestricted free agents. You got Cam Robinson, their left tackle, left guard Andrew Norwell, and their center Tyler Shatley. This team cannot lose too many of these guys without getting an upgrade. You need to get an upgrade without knowing what happens in free agency, without knowing what happens with trades. Evan Neal, you got to get someone to protect that franchise quarterback, Goldilocks, whatever you want to call him, T-Law. You got to protect that guy because while it was a down year, while it was not a great year for Trevor Lawrence, you got to look at the situation around him. You have all the off-field concerns. You have all the off-field distractions. You have a rookie quarterback who everyone expects to succeed with flying colors, but you got to put him in the right situation. You also got to get him protection. 32 sacks allowed for Jacksonville this year. While it's not a ton, it's more than you want your rookie quarterback, your rookie franchise quarterback getting hit. So let's get him some protection with Evan Neal. You just look at Neal. He's got fantastic size, great length, tremendous athleticism with that size paired with quick feet. The ability to control his opponents with his length, with his strength is phenomenal. He's got a great jump set, does a good job shooting his hands, great pop in those hands as well. And he's athletic enough to pull, get up to that second level, really put a hurt on these linebackers, these safeties, get out in front, whether it's on screens, whether it's, they're running up the middle and you got to pull them from the outside, get them outside on these zone runs. Just whatever you want to do. Evan Neal does such a great job. Now, we got to talk about, some of the bad things, though. Not every prospect is perfect. There's no prospect that's perfect. So the first overall pick is always going to have a few downsides. And, for instance, you look back at Penei Sewell in last year's draft from Oregon, who was taken by the Detroit Lions, who had a pretty good rookie year here, really solid rookie year. And you're looking at a future bookend there for years to come in Detroit. You look at Evan Neal, both those guys, a little bit raw when it comes to their technique. Need to work on that technique overall. But still very good, very, very, very good pass protectors, very good run protectors. But I would like to see Evan Neal be a little bit more patient in pass protection. Needs to be a little bit quicker. Just get better timing climbing to that second level. Can be a little bit late, can be a little too early. Needs to figure out that right timing, get that right upstairs. But overall, again, a very good, very good prospect. Again, his strength, his length, his ability to beat defenders with pure strength. But we need to start playing with a little bit more leverage consistently. Don't make things so hard for yourself. Understand that leverage and win with that. But again, like you're looking at a prospect that is extremely sound overall, just a few things to work on. And I think Jacksonville is going to really like what they get with Evan Neal when you look at this 2022 NFL mock draft. All right, we're going to move on to the next pick. I teased it again earlier. We're going to be talking about the Giants pick at 7 here. I went with one of my favorite edge prospects in this draft, David Ajabo. from Michigan, the defensive end, stand-up outside linebacker, however you want to look at him. I think he's a better two-point rusher, but he's got great size. 6 foot, four and a half-ish, 250 pounds. This guy with great length, great athleticism, great burst, great get-off, great speed, all the above. He is fairly new to the position still. He's still learning, and we're talking about a top 10 player in this NFL draft and a guy that could get just better and better and better. The ceiling, you don't know where that ceiling is yet. The sky is the limit for David Ojabo. This guy is a stud. My favorite thing when I look at these two-point edge rushers, when I look at these guys that are going to be in wide sets, whether it's a 7-tech or a wide 9-tech, I love the get-off that you get from a guy like David Ojabo, and that's what you want. You want a quick get-off. You want a guy who understands how to counter. You want a guy who understands how to hand fight. You want a guy who's athletic, who's big, who's fast, who's quick. I love the strength. I love the get-off. I love the burst. He threatens that edge consistently, and he's best in those wide alignments. His speed gets offensive tackles off balance consistently, and he causes problems at the top of his rush. He's dangerous one-on-one. You put your dang tackle on an island with this guy, and he's going to be missing. He's not even going to be in the play anymore because David Ojabo is going to leave him behind, and he's going to put your quarterback in constant pressure, constant issues. There's just going to be so many things that are going to be running through your quarterback's head. Can I step up into the teeth of this defense with David Ojabo rushing around the edge? You know, it's going to be a struggle for your quarterback, for your running back to be able to get that edge. There's just a lot of things that David Ojabo can do that's going to be a detriment to your offense, to say the least. His flexibility, the ability to flatten and get around the hip, get around the arc of his pass rush is phenomenal. There's just so much that he can do with that flexibility, the springy type of athlete that he is. But again, still a raw prospect, still learning the position, still learning the nuances of being an NFL athlete. But again, this is going to be a guy that you don't really know where the ceiling is. That ceiling is pretty sky high, which is fantastic to see. So love David Ojabo. I really like the fit in New York. David Gettleman retired. We all heard the news there earlier. And so you know you're going to be get a different you're going to be switching up a few things, but it sounds like they're going to be promoting from within. You might get a few of the same things, but let's start with David Ojabo. Let's get that defense right. And I know Giants have two first round picks in this mock draft, so be sure you go check out, see who else they got in this mock draft. But we are going to move on from the Giants. We're going to head to the AFC North. We're going to be talking about the Baltimore Ravens, and a team that is a very good team overall, could definitely use some offensive line help. They need to get healthy. That was their biggest issue this year, is they got to get healthy. Got to get Lamar Jackson healthy, Marlon Humphrey, get their defense healthy. I think they hit very highly on one of my favorite prospects in the 2021 NFL draft, in Jason Owe, Odafa Owe, as he goes by now, goes by his original name there. Great pick there, but We're going to be talking about who they take in this mock draft. It is Charles Cross, the offensive tackle from Mississippi State, at pick 14 for the Ravens. Great size, 6'5", 305. But I'm going to get into a little bit of a concern here with that size right now. A little bit weaker in the lower body. I want to see him get some good strength, build some muscle up, and you're going to put some more weight on, go from 305 to 315-ish. I think that's going to be a huge benefit for him going forward, is if he could build some strength in that lower body, because I think he's got good strength overall. But when you're 6'5", 305, you want a guy that gets a little bit thicker in that lower body. But let's talk about the good stuff. He does keep a good, strong, wide base. He's a big boy. He understands how to stay balanced. He's got great balance. And I love his effectiveness when he's mirroring, when he's blocking, when he's mirroring, very quick to react. Does a great job with his hands, repositioning his hands and getting those right. It's tough for these defenders to win with their first move. Hell, sometimes it's hard for them to even win with their second move. He does a great job and does a great job understanding of the position of what he needs to do as an offensive tackle. He's above average athlete. I would say he's a really good athlete. I'd say he's a little bit more above average than that. He's better than I think we give him credit for. Very strong anchor. He maximizes that strength that he currently has from the ground up and understands how to utilize that, where to shift his weight, where to put his hands. Like, all just the little nuances that it comes with playing offensive tackle, he does a great job. I love the repositioning of the hands, because not a lot of young tackles, which I believe Charles Cross is a redshirt sophomore, if I remember correctly. Not a lot. He understands the nuances of this, of the game. He understands the nuances of the position. Not a lot of young tackles understand that just yet. And the fact that he has that already, I think bodes well for him in the future. Does he start day one? You're picking him at 14. You're hoping so. I think you develop him through rookie minicamp, rookie training camp. You got OTAs, you got all the above. I think this is a guy that's going to come along really quick. I think he's going to, with his head upstairs, you know, a guy that can understand and how to locate stunts, establishing good angles and leverage. I think he has it upstairs to be able to start day one of the NFL season next year. So I do think that you're going to see a lot of Charles Cross going forward. I think you're going to hear a lot about him in the preseason. I think you're going to hear a lot about him come week one as a strong protector for Lamar Jackson here, if this is how it goes. But you got a good tackle out of Mississippi State here, Charles Cross, to the Baltimore Ravens at 14. Now we got two more guys to go through. Some of my favorite guys to talk about here, and I teased it earlier: the Chargers losing potentially Jalen Guyton, Mike Williams. They're two wide receivers. They got two guys that have seen the field a lot this year that they could be using. I believe Jalen Guyton is a restricted free agent, and then Mike Williams is an unrestricted free agent. But we're gonna pretend that we're losing both those guys in this mock draft. So we're gonna replace them with a guy by the name of, I'm gonna tell you, it's Ohio State. So which one is it? Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson? We're going to go with Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, the Ohio State stud wide receiver. Now, he's 6 foot, 5 foot 11 and a half ish, 188, 190, 185, somewhere around those pounds. Twitched up athlete. Excellent suddenness and flexibility. He's got a tremendous, diverse route tree, a diverse and ridiculous release package. The ability that he has to set up defenders with his release and attack that leverage, attack the blind spot in his routes. There's so many things that he does, the little nuances of being a receiver. You know, if you don't understand the receiver position, it's attacking leverage, it's attacking the blind spot of defenders, it's using your hips and shoulders and your head to sell a route, your ability to stop on a dime and cut and make ridiculous plays with your feet and being that type of athlete. I'm a Vikings fan, so I'm going to use the reference. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, go watch them run some routes, and you'll understand what I mean by selling with your hips and your shoulders and your head and being able to win with your release, being able to attack the blind spot of defenders and get open. That's what Garrett Wilson can do. That's what he brings to the receiver position. He's a tremendous athlete with just shiftiness all around. And just that, again, using that blind spot of the defender, getting to that back shoulder, giving him a little fake inside or outside, and then breaking it off the other way. And you leave that defender. All you got to do is leave a yard of separation, and your quarterback, in this case, we got them go to the Chargers. Your quarterback, Justin Herbert, is going to put the ball where you need to go catch it. And the other thing is, he could catch the ball really well away from his body. He has a great catch radius, tremendous hands, and his ability to make plays with the ball in the air. Great hands, great body control in the air at the catch point. Now, He's a slighter frame. I mentioned it already. He's around 5'11", 6 foot, somewhere around there, around that 190. And he doesn't have the frame quite yet. I want to see him build up some good muscle, good weight, put some good weight on his frame, get him out of that slighter frame a little bit, because that goes along with his blocking ability. Not the best blocker yet. Goes along with his play strength. Not the strongest play strength when it comes to a wide receiver. He relies mainly on making you miss in the open field, manipulating you in the route, manipulating you in his release, and making a play on the ball with very little contested catch ability there. So while there's still a lot that he does, I do want to see him play with a little bit more strength, get a little bit better weight on his body, get a little bit more strength, get a little bit more muscle, and focus on that, because he's already got so many good things that are going on for him as a receiver. So pair him with Justin Herbert with the Chargers. I think you have a great 1-2 combination with Keenan Allen and Garrett Wilson. Phenomenal. It's going to be fun to see. Now, we're going to move on to the last guy. We're going to be talking about Miami, who's picking at 22, the 49ers pick previously before it was traded to them. And we're gonna be talking about a guy who one of my favorite linebackers who played last night in the national championship game, had a solid game. I will say, I'm gonna be talking about Georgia's N'Kobe Dean. Okay, I will say, I was watching the game and it was like the end of the first quarter, I think. And one of the concerns I have with N'Kobe Dean is he's not the biggest guy. He's 5'11 and a half, 220. So not a big, oversized, big guy, big linebacker. And one of the concerns I have is he likes to tackle high. I think I counted on each hand how many times that he tackled too high. And I'm just sitting here like, man, this guy has everything that you look for in a linebacker. The ability to read and react quickly, firing downhill, quick in pursuit, an effective communicator on defense with great speed, understands how to flow with the play and come downhill. And he's almost impossible to seal when you're blocking him at the second level. I love it. Staying square to the line of scrimmage. Everything you look for in an NFL linebacker, except this guy is not the biggest guy and he tackles you out of your shoulder pads. When if he just fires off on your legs, you're done for, because he's quick, he's bursty, he's explosive, he's fast, he's all the above. And if he just fires at legs, now let's get that technique right. I think he will. There's a lot to work with there, but that's one of the concerns I had. And I'm watching this national championship game and I'm like, man, quit tackling so high, get low. My kid, he's 8 years old. And that's what these kids do when they're playing football, helping coach them. They're always tackling high. I don't get it. Like, just go low, take these legs out. Now, obviously, N'Kobe Dean, a little bit better than my 8-year-old kid. But again, it's one of those things where you just got to get into the head of these guys and let them know, like, this is what's going to help you be more effective. This is what's going to help you be a better NFL player. There's just so many things that he does so well. Just a few things like that he needs to work on. He's not a long linebacker. He doesn't have extremely good length. He wasn't godly gifted with that length. And he can struggle a little bit stacking and shedding because of that. Tackling high when you're not the longest guy, get low, take him out with your shoulders, take him out low at the legs, and you're good to go there. Now, I like him as a man coverage type of guy. I'm not huge on him as a zone cover guy because he doesn't threaten passing lanes in zone. He still is trying to figure out where that landmark is that he needs to get to. I like his athleticism, his hips, his fluidity, which I like him in man coverage. He's a guy that's quick enough that he can run with slot wide receivers. He's a guy that is strong enough to be able to run with tight ends, running backs. So I'm not afraid of him playing him in man coverage. I need to get his head right in zone coverage, though. But I do think there's enough to work with. There's so much to work with. Not just enough. There's so much to work with to put him in zone coverage, to put him in man coverage, to play him as a run defender. He is a three-down inside linebacker that does so many things so well. Just his tenacity, his motor, his effectiveness, firing downhill into a hole and meeting that runner head-on. He plays with no fear, which I love. I love my linebackers playing with speed, explosiveness, and no fear. This is that guy right here. So I love N'Kobe Dean. I love this pick for Miami. Miami losing Brian Flores after 3 years of an up-and-down season. I'm a little bit questionable on that firing, by the way. I thought, he did enough to keep his job at the end of the year. Now, I know, I talked with the Miami Dolphins Sports Illustrated writer. I think he's a little bit more on the side of moving on from Brian Flores, from what I understood from talking with him a little bit, very slightly. But I question a little bit. I thought he made enough strides at the end of the year to potentially, save his job and see what they can do with another draft, with another offseason underneath him. But nonetheless, they're moving on from him. I think starting with getting their defense right, getting N'Kobe Dean here, I think this is the right move for Miami. And that is going to do it for the prospects we are going to talk about. We're about at the 25-minute mark. I hope you all enjoyed the show. Be sure you go check it out on si.com/NFL/draft. You could follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and at @NFL_Zach. I'm all over there. You can follow the show, the NFL Draft Bible podcast. Go check that out. Follow the NFL Draft Bible at NFL Draft Bible all over the Twitterverse, Instagramverse, Facebook, whatever, all the above. Make sure you're following them because we're dropping articles left and right. I mean, it's crazy. We got like 4 articles going out with scouting reports and rankings and all the above. It's great to see. Make sure you listen to every episode on the NFL the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, because we got great Debbie shows, we got great draft shows, we got great fantasy football shows. My guy Lorenz Lineweber and Alec Polito doing a great job on the Prospect Profits, breaking those down for you guys. Make sure you're checking those out every single week, and be sure you are giving the shows a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. That's going to be it for me on this beautiful Tuesday morning, afternoon, night, whenever you're listening to it. I hope you guys enjoyed the national championship game. Make sure you're on the lookout for all of the latest content going out at nsi.com/NFL/draft. We will be with you guys with another mock draft show next Tuesday. Be sure you check out the mock draft on Monday next week, and we're going to be rocking and rolling. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. I hope you guys are ready to go, because this is about to get very real. And we'll see you guys all next week. Thank you for listening.